Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
Now, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform Michael McGrath has defended promised tax cuts in next month's budget, saying it had been 3 years since any changes to tax bans and that staying static is not an option in light of rising inflation. Now, this is in spite of criticism from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council of the government plans to increase current and capital spending while also cutting taxes. Well, we're joined now by Professor Michael McMahon, Vice Chair of the Council. And Michael, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. The Minister has said that a static tax system that doesn't change in any way in real terms is a tax increase, especially in times of inflation. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, it is up to elected politicians to decide what combination of policies they think is right. What we really were stressing in our comments and when we made the point about being at the limits was that this is a tax decrease coming at the same time as a commitment to large increases in both current and capital spending. Now, the point that we were trying to make is there are lots of worthy causes, but you do need to come up with a plan to fund them and pay for them, and it is up to the politicians to make those tough choices.
Mm. But do you accept the Minister's point, which is that if inflation is rising, especially at the rate that it's rising at the moment, that if they didn't index the tax bans to inflation, everyone would in effect end up paying more tax? All they're doing is trying to stay static, potentially. We don't know the full details yet, but that he's very clear that it's not a tax cut that they're talking about in that instance.
Oh, but that's right. But again, at the same time as increasing spending, what countries do, and different countries make different choices on this, is some choose to be very high tax with high spending, others choose to be lower tax with lower spending. Now, what we're arguing is that you can't both decide that we're going to move to a new world with higher spending and not come up with a way of raising taxes. So relative to what's needed, this is an effective tax cut, even though absolutely he's right. There is indexation does form a part of a sort of creep where the government gets more tax for the same level of real earnings. But again, the point is that at the same time as increasing other types of spending, there has to be a plan to fund that.
OK, so if the government then has reached its spending limits, as you warn, but continues to spend, what risks do we face?
I mean, the biggest risk is that already when measured in terms of GNI star, very technical term, but, you know, Irish ability to pay is already, they look like they have a lot of debt relative to other countries. Now, NTMA have done a fantastic job. Debt servicing costs are very low, so in some ways, particularly on the capital spending, it's a good time to borrow and spend, especially if they're on things that will boost growth going forward. The problem is that if you start looking like an outlier and it looks like your policies are reckless, then markets are going to lose faith in lending to the Irish government, and then interest rate costs can rise very quickly, as we saw in 2009-2010 in Ireland.
And how serious a risk is that in terms of what has been flagged in terms of the government's plans for the budget already? I mean, they're not massively increasing spending and massively cutting taxes, are they? You know, is it likely that we'll suddenly be seen as an outlier or not prudent or risky?
Not necessarily, although with inflation rising, there's increasingly evidence that would force the ECB to start raising rates. Now, they're not about to do that, and rates remain very low. But, you know, it doesn't take much for those rates to start going up. And again, our point is not that you can't make choices to spend this money. It's really that, you know, in previous budgets and summary economic statements, the government has always gone toward getting debt back towards something like balance. Balance isn't particularly special, but, you know, something that gets the debt ratio coming down to a lower level. And we shouldn't forget that because of the rightly targeted support given broadly across the economy in the last 18 months with COVID, perfectly sensible, big increase in debt as a result of that, as it was in most other countries. But the you know, that just means the debt is on a much higher level than it was, say, if we were having this conversation towards the end of 2019. So our view was that bringing debt down, or at least getting it on a path that's heading down, would be the more prudent thing to do. And that's why you're right. We haven't said they've gone past the limit, but we really do think they are at the limit of what's sensible.
And when you say they're at the limit, does that include then all the spending associated with some of the big plans that they've announced, the Housing for All plan, major reform of the health service through Sláinte Care, National Development Plan, a Climate Action Plan, big spending associated with all of them? Have you incorporated all of that into the limit of spending?
So that's where we think about the limit is also because we think even further than 3 to 5 years down the road, there is, you know, the climate challenge you mentioned, but there's also the challenges associated with an aging population. These are going to come with big costs associated in the next 20 years or so. And so we have to think about those. But you're right, you know, on other things like the National Development Plan, Climate Action Plan, and the Housing for All, the Sláinte Care, we don't have updated costs on that since 2017. So there's a lot of stuff that we're really not clear on yet. And so, again, with uncertainty around those, and the Irish government does not have a particularly strong track record of investment spending management and keeping costs down. And so, you know, with rightly the big investment in housing that they seem to be putting forward, we think a prudent approach would be to get debt down a little bit more in case there are overruns, in case there are needs that come further down the road.
And when you say you don't have updated costs on Sláinte Care since 2017, can you just explain that to me a little bit, that what there was a cost outlined when the plan was launched and there hasn't been any further costings done, or that not that you're aware of?
I mean, it's not in our mandate to specifically look just at Sláinte Care. But of course, when we look at these big plans, we do try and get the best possible estimate. Same is true for Housing for All. There's very little analysis of the economics impacts of that. And so, you know, more detail will certainly help our ability to do a careful projection of where the balance of sustainability lies going forward.
Just finally then, there's pressure, I'm sure you're aware, in the last couple of days there's been a debate about giving healthcare workers, or indeed civil servants, or indeed other people outside of that again, extra leave or a payment or something in recognition of their work during the pandemic. Now, just for the healthcare workers alone, the HSE is saying that it will cost €377 million. I expect it will be a one-off cost, but is that the sort of thing that we can afford? Do we have the space in that?
Well, again, because it's a one-off cost, I think we would look at it very differently. You know, it's worth bearing in mind that debt has gone up by about 40 billion. So it's currently sitting, we expect this year, at about 250 billion. So if you talk about a one-off cost that adds another half billion, of course, that's a decision for the government of whether they think that's the right place for that type of money to be spent and not somewhere else. But given it's a one-off, it probably wouldn't, set off the alarm bells as much as sort of other spending commitments which are likely to go on long into the future.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Professor Michael McMahon, Vice Chair of the Fiscal Advisory Council.